Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask for or even imagine. Amen. Do we sometimes judge without knowing the facts? Stephen Covey, author of the popular book Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, tells of riding a subway in New York City. All the passengers were reading or sleeping or sitting quietly until a man got on the subway with several children. The children were unruly beyond measure. They were fighting and throwing things. In fact, one of the children grabbed a newspaper from the hands of one of the passengers. The father was doing absolutely nothing about his children's behavior. While the children ran wild, the father just sat there staring off into space. Stephen Covey finally decided to take action. He went to the father and said, "Sir, we need your help. Your children are bothering people. Could you do something about it?" The man awoke as if from a daze, and he said, "You're right. I guess I should do something about it. We've just left the hospital. Their mother, my wife, just died. I really do not know what to think or do, and I guess they're not handling it very well either. If we could only know the burdens that other people are carrying, we would be more sympathetic. We have all been in moments when we have misread what is right in front of us. We don't always know the whole story. And actually, in our gospel lesson today, that needs to be considered as we wonder about the character of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Jesus tells us about a Pharisee who thanks God that he isn't like the tax collector that he sees across the way. Now, the Pharisee doesn't really know this particular tax collector, but he knows about tax collectors, and he seems to assume that this tax collector must be one of the bad ones. Yet, this tax collector was praying. The Pharisee should have noticed that. And if he had, he might have realized this tax collector is praying. He might even seem to have a hopeful sign about him. A tax collector is open to prayer might also be open to repentance. A bad person who seeks God's presence might not be that questionable after all. Indeed, the tax collector wasn't all bad, but his sins troubled him. We can imagine that he had collaborated with the Romans, had cheated his neighbors. We can possibly surmise, though he had gone to the temple because he couldn't keep going the way he had been, that he wanted something different for his life. Maybe he would quit his job. Maybe he would refund the stolen money. Whatever pressed upon his conscience, he came to the temple to pray. That's a first step, isn't it, for all of us? That we become aware of the need to change, to seek God's grace, to humbly acknowledge a power greater than ourselves, that God is bigger than our pain. God's grace, God's mercy is greater than any situation that feels overwhelming. So this troubled tax collector came looking for God. You never know what might happen when a person comes looking for God. I will never forget when I was 18 years old and experienced a rejection so deep, I thought I wanted to end my life. I went down to the ocean. It was a cold, foggy day, and I slowly walked into the dark water. Two things happened. The cold, cold water sent shivers through me and frightened me. The second thing that happened was I heard a voice within me. A gentle message settled in my heart. Do not be afraid. I love you. To believe in God's personal love for you can change everything. It did for me, and my life has not been the same since. It is the ultimate gift we have received, the blessed, uncompromising assurance that we are loved personally by God just the way we are. To believe in God's love can change everything. To experience God's forgiveness and mercy can change everything. It is never too late to grow in self-awareness, to open our hearts to God. And the tax collector was about to do that, to receive God's transforming grace, because the tax collector walked into the temple with a humble attitude, with honesty about himself, and awareness of his unworthiness. Yet, like the tax collector, what happens next is up to us. Did the tax collector, and do we, step out in faith and live a resurrected life? In this story, Jesus does not tell us that the tax collector offers to refund ill-gotten money. Jesus doesn't even give us a punchline and say that the tax collector will change his ways and become respectable. The tax collector brings no personal achievement to the table to bargain with God. He has nothing to commend himself to God. His only virtue is his humility, which allows him to ask for mercy. And God answered his prayer, and he therefore goes down to the home justified. In other words, right with God. The tax collector prayed for mercy, and God answered his prayer with God's steadfast love. So, who are you? The Pharisee or the tax collector? It is hard to hear this parable without placing ourselves in one role or the other, or hearing oneself in both people. It would be unfortunate if we were to assume it is better that we are not like the Pharisee with his self-righteous attitude. Yes, it is obviously good news for the humble person because God promises to help the humble person. But it is good news for the proud person too, the person who always tries to be better than everyone else. Jesus' words imply yet a threat to the proud person, but Jesus' words also offer a gift. Because in those words, Jesus tells us, quit the rat race. Slow down. We don't have to run faster than everyone else. We don't always have to be right, and we don't always have to control. We don't always have to win. We can instead ask God for guidance, for strength, for faith, and for mercy. We can step back and let God be God. We can give God our anxiety, our fear, and our insecurity. We can rest in the assurance that God is in this, and that God will help us do the right thing. That doesn't mean that we should no longer pursue excellence. We should always do the best we can with what God has given us. But Jesus is telling us that the key to life is not to be found in personal achievement, but in God's mercy. That we should look to God rather than to our own efforts for our salvation and peace. God freely gives what we can never hope to achieve on our own. N. Graham Standish writes, actually, we are only responsible for our efforts. God is responsible for the results. So be responsible for your part, and let God be responsible for God's part. Wisdom comes in learning to tell the difference. Let us pray this week for forgiveness. Let us pray this week for a right heart. Let us pray this week that we might love our neighbors. Let us pray this week, God, be merciful to me. And let us pray today, during this baptism, that as Jordan and Kevin receive the sacrament of baptism, they may always turn to God for the grace they need to live their lives with faith, hope, and love. Amen.